what you wanted to do? I hate the thing. Let's get this over with. We're almost done.
Okay.
No more talking, guys.
Yeah. Okay, let's finish up here. And Piggy, could you go with 6A, please?
6A is authorization of an agreement between the City of Newport and the Newport Police Association.
Spencer.
As you are aware, the city's been in negotiation with the Police Association for a replacement contract to a contract that expired on June 30th, 2021. The association and the city have been working on this replacement agreement for the past 4 months or so. And we've outlined the various changes previously, which I've outlined in the report here to the council at executive sessions. And I'm pleased that we've been able to come to terms with the bargaining unit on a contract that's been ratified by the bargaining unit. And I'm recommending that the council go forward and approve that as well. I think the most significant change is the pay schedule that's in the agreement. We did a salary study that indicated that we were very low for starting wages in that unit. We were also low for the senior wages in the unit. And we replaced that salary scale with a different salary scale that brought up both ends of it and kept the middle positions pretty much where they were at, which puts us in pretty good stead with our comparable units. And then there's a 2% increase in the remaining 2 years of the agreement for each of the years. So again, I would recommend the council consider approving the agreement with the Newport Police Association for an agreement expiring on June 30th, 2024.
Hey, Spencer, can I ask a process question?
Sure.
When you're dealing with labor negotiations and other HR-related topics, would it be prudent for the HR director to attend that part of the meeting or be available to answer questions about, or is it something that she couldn't even comment on anyway?
Well, I think she was on vacation today. Otherwise, she probably would have been here today. And she has participated in the executive sessions with the council on that as well. But if there's, I'm pretty well versed in this whole process. So if there's any questions on it, I certainly can try to answer that. So
I don't have a question about that, but I do want to know how we, because I know there is a shortage of sworn officers, and we have the incentive pay, like $2,500 signing bonus and such like that. I don't, does that get written into the contract in some way, shape, or form? Like, how does that
No, because
work?
That's outside, that's before they are a member of the union, so that's not required to be part of the union, and we wouldn't want to have that as part of the union contract because, again, that may change from time to time. And the reason we were so low on starting salaries here is that was from a different era where most of the officers we were hiring we had to send to the academy, so we brought them in at a lower rate, and then they had a big jump once they got fully certified. Unfortunately, nobody else is doing that, so it made our starting wages very low compared to the people we're competing with for positions. So I think the combination of making the adjustment in the starting wages and the signing bonuses, and we've recently switched our testing format with a national test for the pre-qualification process, that's been a huge help in getting us applicants. We'll see if that helps us actually hire officers. So
I'm prepared to make, sorry, go ahead.
You, Mark.
So now that you've negotiated with the police, that fire's next?
Well, fire is over a year past their contract. I can, you know, each bargaining unit has their own way of proceeding with things, and the police is very efficient in negotiations. The firefighters, you know, they have a long laundry list of many, many, many items, and we have not had very many meetings with them, in part because of COVID. You know, now, yeah, wildfires has been impacting our negotiations. We would really like to move that along. It has not moved along very fast. So
non-union staff will get the same raise, is that right?
Well, typically, what non-union staff has and what we've negotiated has been typically a 2% rate, unless we've done a salary review where we've made, you know, adjustments outside of that kind of COLA adjustment.
Given a 4%.
What's that? No, it includes a new structure. So some of the employees will get a 2% increase. The new hires will come in at a much higher rate than what they were before because we were kind of artificially low, and the senior folks will get a bit of a bump. We did, there are a couple incentives that got a 1% increase in there. We're eliminating one of the incentives as part of this agreement. We're adding a new incentive for bilingual language, either Spanish or sign language, and so
no German.
No German.
No,
no,
we
German.
We did not offer that yet. So no Italian, no German. No, no. We kind of looked at our census numbers and we tried to match that up. So yeah, that's a bit of a trick. So
well, I think you did a great job, man. Hopefully the police will be happy.
Can I make a motion? And we'll move this. Oh, Dimar, were you going to meet? I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I move to authorize a 3-year contract with the Newport Police Association expiring June 30th, 2024.
Second.
Motion made by Councilor Hall, seconded by Councilor Parker. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? I don't see anything on here on raising retired officer salary. Unfortunately,
yeah, that was there is something there. It says no change.
Okay, Peggy, next item, please. Peggy.
The next item on the agenda is a report on the COVID-19 policy.
Spencer.
Well, as you can see, things have changed just in 2 weeks with us wearing masks today. We have re-implemented mask policies for all our city facilities in line with the governor's order, and that'll be in effect until further notice. And basically, other than that, there are still no requirements for social distancing or capacity limits in facilities, so we do not plan to do anything on that until we, you know, unless we get a directive from the governor's office to address that. So basically, you know, our intent is to follow the direction from the governor's office on these issues. And the one thing that we've all learned from COVID is that as soon as you think you know what it's going to do, you don't know, or you know, because it'll prove you wrong every time. And so anyway, we'll see where we go with this, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's further changes coming up, yeah, get your masks, you know, cleaned up and ready to roll for a while, I think. So
cleaned up.
Yeah, yeah, it's good to do once in a while. I heard so. But anyway, so that's our policy. Same with our employees. Any of our employees that are outside of their specifically assigned office space or cubicle space have to wear masks. So anywhere in the building or common areas and offices, we have to wear masks. At the rec center, there is an exception for athletic events and training for athletic events. The way we're interpreting that at this point is that anyone doing cardiovascular workouts at the rec center is not being required to wear a mask. That may change as time goes on as well, but other than that, that's kind of where we're at with COVID-19. So
do people still play basketball? I mean, that's are the courts used?
Yes.
Yeah. Not required to wear a mask, right?
No. Under the governor's guidelines, the masks are not required for those sorts of activities. inside.
A keen sense of hand-eye coordination, however, Dietmar, is required.
Yeah, it does, I know.
Thank you for doing that. I think that CM and I both have a comment we'd like to make, and I'll let CM go first.
Well, I just wanted us to kind of show our solidarity that vaccinations save lives and disinformation kills. So I just thought it was important that we have a strong, you know, statement about that, because so much of that misinformation and disinformation is dangerous right now, and that's the problem. So I was displaying my vaccination card to show, like, vaccinations save lives.
I just want everybody to know that I had my first shot in January, and I want everybody to know that the reason that I did it, it wasn't for me, it was for everybody else, because I want everybody else to be safe, and I don't want anybody getting COVID. I have a good friend that got COVID, and it's just a nasty thing, and I do recommend that everyone get a vaccination, and they're available everywhere. They're easy to get. I got to tell you, both shots I had zero problems with. I had no pain, no, you know, all the things that you've heard. So I think that that's just whatever. But
I'm going to make a statement then, too, because I got my
go shot. Ahead. Hey. Go for it, Dietmar.
I got my shot in January 20th because I'm an old guy.
I beat you by 5 days. I'm an older guy.
And I think it's very important to for everybody to get a vaccination, too. I think this is the only way we're going to beat this. I don't want to wear masks the rest of my life. Nope. And every winter and every summer and go up the best laid up and down. So please, people, readily available, like Dean said. Yeah.
Very good. And I also want to thank the city staff. They have done a wonderful job this last year and a half. They've put up with a lot of stuff, but they've also made it safer for the public to use city facilities and also City Hall and all the rec center and all the rest, and the airport as well. So I just want a big shout out to the city staff. And thank you, Spencer, for instituting these policies that you have. I know it's not been... A lot of people disagree with it, but I think it's for the best for all of us. And thank you very much.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I really do think, you know, we're kind of in a special community, and our organization has, you know, even though people aren't happy wearing masks, you know, there's no resistance to doing it. Everyone knows that this is the best thing to be doing during this time period. Staff has been very cooperative, and the community as a whole actually has been very cooperative through this whole issue, and certainly it's okay to get frustrated once in a while by, you know, certain activities, but I think overall, you know, we've had very few situations with people, you know, contesting anything that we've done as far as taking steps relating to COVID, so I thank the community for being very responsive to this issue.
And that's an important point. I think that we also need to thank Lincoln County for all that they've done. Lincoln County, I think, was the third county to make 70%. And I think our county commission has done a wonderful job managing this whole problem. And it's been very difficult for them because at times, not only did they have to worry about COVID, but they had to worry about the wildfires and several other events. So I think that a big shout out to Lincoln County commissioners as well. Okay, Peggy, next item, please. Oh, I'm sorry, Cynthia.
Not to be a bit of a wet blanket here, but I am concerned about unvaccinated people coming from other states where they are not as highly vaccinated. I know it worries a lot of the merchants, particularly in Nye Beach. They have had to put up with some very difficult situations to the best of their abilities. It's not all sunshine, and we are not through this yet.
And one of the things, too, that we discussed at staff meeting today, we had signage coming into the community for wearing masks. We're going to see if we can get those signs back again to do that. And I think this time we still have some COVID money that we may actually just purchase the signs, because between mm-hmm. between COVID, between drought, between, you know, red flag. you know,
I think
mm-hmm. these signs would get quite a bit of use, and you know, it's been, you know, really a pretty incredible period when you think of all these multiple things, you know, with COVID being the, you know, the big overriding thing, but these other issues have been just, you know, challenging us all, you know, for the last you know, couple years here, and so anyway, I think
a lot of them had the common denominator of acting city manager Peggy Hawker. That's all I'm saying. Is a lot of the time those things happened on her watch.
Well, yeah, on the next issue too, she was a little gun shy because she could have done this one as yeah. well, but.
She wanted it for you.
Yeah, she wanted to let me at least declare one emergency. Yes, so, and this is a limited emergency, but
there was one policy that you instituted that I had a question about. Instead of mandating that the staff wear Seattle Seahawks masks, you allow them to wear Denver Bronco masks.
And the issue is.
Okay, Peggy, let's go on to the next item, and I'm sure you have something to say about Denver as well.
The next item on the agenda is a limited emergency declaration for waterline break Agate Beach State Park parking area by Spencer.
Spencer.
Yeah, and this one had Peggy's name written all over it. But on August 11th, I declared a limited emergency declaration to address damage caused by the water main break, which occurred on August 9th. At Agate Beach Park, and this will help facilitate the restoration of the parking spaces and the curbing in the pathway that was lost from the water main break. We are addressing this issue with Charter. Their line years ago was put in where it actually grazed our water main, and over all the years, that's where the break occurred, was where that line was right on top of our water main, and it happened years ago, so I'm not sure how this is all going to wash out as far as financial responsibility.
Wash out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I have to say that came naturally, but anyway, I would request that the council extend the declaration of limited emergency to September 10th so that Chris and company can get everything fixed and replaced and back into shape for the rest of the season.
Is that what all those cones are doing there at the big?
Yeah.
Chris, how many gallons were lost in that break? Do we know?
I do not know that. I know the leak happened for approximately 45 minutes before crews were able to isolate the area.
That's a 12-inch line?
It is an 8-inch line.
Move to extend the declaration of limited emergency to complete restoration.
Oh, wait a minute. Aaron, do you have a comment?
I was just curious. Reading about that it was caused by somebody else hitting the line.
I reached out to Charter today.
Yeah, no, we've reached out to Charter to inform them of this issue. We'll have to get the work done, and then we'll attempt to seek reimbursement. So.
What's your Charter bill? You'll know.
Hey, Aaron, there'll be a line item on your cable bill. courtesy of Wisconsin-based corporation.
Okay, Demar?
So are you guys ready?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I move to extend the declaration of limited emergency to complete restoration work caused by the city water line rupture on August 9th, 2021, with an emergency terminating on September 10th, 2021.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Councilor Goble, seconded by Councilor Collette. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm not opposed, but I won't vote on this because of the conflict of interest.
I just want to make clear that this is a declaration made by Spencer, not by.
That's why it's a limited. That's why it's just a limited emergency.
I wanted to let you know that the way this water line break was discovered is that Chris was out on a walk.
Oh. Well, I heard a little more than he was being on a walk. I think he was at an establishment after taking a walk and saw the leak. So,
yeah, it was weird because I got an email from the manager at the Best Western, and he sent me a picture and said, "What's going on?" And like 2 minutes later, you sent out an email. So that worked out great.
Oh, yeah, that is correct. We saw it from down the hill, or from up the hill.
Yeah, where were you at, Chris?
I was at the Best Western. but yeah, it was flowing quite rapid out of the pavement and down the ramp.
That's dangerous to let engineers walk around on the streets at night. You never know what they'll see.
And yeah, for the record, non-stop. The motion did pass. Yeah. Okay, Peggy, 6D, please.
6D is authorized receipt of ARPA funding.
Spencer.
Thanks for adding this to the agenda tonight. This action is necessary to receive the first installment of ARPA funding and provides the assurances that the city understands and agrees that the funds will be dispersed under this award in compliance with the Social Security Act and Treasury regulations relating to these funds. So basically the city is entitled to get an estimated $2.4 million over two installments a year apart. This will be the first installment. We have until 2024 to spend these funds. We have a work session set up for the first meeting in September to discuss how we're going to proceed with the use of these funds, and I think in thinking along those terms, this is an opportunity for us to do something we wouldn't normally be able to do, potentially, you know, with the our regular stream of funding. So we'll give you know, a number of ideas that we have. We want to get council ideas, but everyone, League of Oregon Cities and others have advised, take your time and make sure you do the best investments for the benefit of the community utilizing these funds, and don't feel rushed in making decisions on how to use the funds. So that's at this point, I would request a motion allowing us to actually receive these funds.
Yeah. Ryan?
Can I have a question first?
Sure.
What are the stipulations on using these funds?
There's a nice book about this thick.
Okay.
But. And it's changed a little bit from time to time. We're going to outline that for the work session so that the council has some idea of what these could be used for, what they couldn't be used for. So we'll be better able to address that on September 7th at the work session when we can kind of detail that out for the council. But, you know, basically these are for any specific COVID-related issues. These are also for water and wastewater infrastructure projects. These are also for reimbursement of lost revenues that we received during the COVID year. The question that we need to get answered is, if we're replacing, for example, lost room tax from COVID, can we then spend those monies as we see fit? You know, or are we further constrained on what we can kind of secondarily reuse those funds for? So those are things that we'll bring back to the council with kind of a range of potential ideas. And I think the council shouldn't feel rushed in making a decision of what we do with these funds. We want to make the right decisions. So,
could we use them for that water project on the golf course drive?
Potentially, yes.
I'm really hoping to sunset that one during my tenure here. I feel like Dietmar's paved the way for success on that.
Somebody's
and then maybe
for
that sewer lift station on 54th or whatever, that one up there that we're supposed to be funding.
We have a number of potential projects. We have things, you know, the thing that I want to take a look at is at least get an option out to the council of potentially using this for a significant way of addressing homelessness issues in the community, where that would allow us to better regulate. So there's some interesting things that we can take a look at doing with these funds that we wouldn't normally have an opportunity to do with this type of funding. So, but like I said, we'll present kind of the scope of range of how these funds can be used, and we'll start discussing that on September 7th about the direction that we're going to go.
Cool.
Ryan?
I'm ready to move unless someone else has any.
Go for it.
I'll move to authorize the city manager to sign documents necessary to authorize payments to the city of Newport from the Coronavirus State Fiscal Recovery Fund and the Coronavirus Local Fiscal Recovery Fund, and assuring that the funds will be used by the city in compliance with federal regulations.
Second.
Okay, motion made by Councilor Parker, seconded by Councilor Goble. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? You didn't mention the ice cream truck.
Well, I can't drive my ice cream truck up there if the road isn't fixed.
The electric ice cream truck.
Yeah, I think one thing on this too, we really want to thank our federal officials for having these funds come through, because you know, this was a long battle to have direct funds coming directly to cities. And the National League of Cities played an important role in that. And so if you see our federal officials that were involved with this, thank them for this, because these sorts of things haven't come along very often for cities where a direct payment is made, you know, from the federal government to small cities. So.
Okay. With that, I'll open the contract review board. And Piggy, 7A, please.
7A is notice of intent to award goods and services agreement with Davis Glass Incorporated in the amount of $128,365 for the replacement of library windows.
Spencer.
Replacement of library windows was budgeted as part of the current fiscal year budget. The window project was slated to follow the roof replacement project, which has been completed. Damage from the roof has contributed to weather damage to the windows. Three quotes were solicited for this work. We're recommending that we go with the second quote, since a low quote was putting in a type of window that it's more of a commercial window unit. The city would be responsible for all restoration of drywall and things on the inside. The second quote is putting in, it's basically a residential type window, which is what's in the library currently, and they will do all the restoration work. And so the recommendation is to go with Davis Glass in the amount of $128,365 for the replacement of the library windows.
Questions?
Is Davis Glass local?
They've done work for us in the past, so I don't know where they're out of, to be honest with you. Do you know, Chris?
No, I do not.
Good name for a window company.
Emar?
Just curious.
So, Spencer, while you're looking that up, the Quality Construction Limited, that's not a glass company. Who's their subcontractor, do you know?
Yeah, that was the, I think they were subcontracting with Lincoln Glass, maybe.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
So they're in Albany.
Go with that company, but that's a big difference there, $50,000 almost.
It is, yeah.
No, 50, yeah, but the windows they were going with were not the types of windows that are in the library.
Oh, they're residential units?
Yeah.
They did the roof, didn't they?
Yeah, backing up. The windows that they were putting in are more the commercial store windows that would change the window look from the library from what it is right now. And it would require us to do all the restoration work for drywall, because it'd be a different size window going in to the library. So it's a different type window than the windows that have historically been in the library. And I don't know.
Was that a design build bid then?
Yeah, basically it was a quote that was requested from the three contractors.
Replace the window?
What's that?
So the bids weren't comparable as far as
correct.
All the windows go?
Yep. So they had proposed a different method to replace the windows.
And these windows that are being proposed are residential units? What's that? Chris, what is the window that they're using?
I might have to look up the quote. I could get back to you.
But basically, it's basically a high quality residential type window, which is what we're replacing in the library.
Final window?
And I believe the trim work then will fit right in. So the appearance for the library won't change. The low bid was for a commercial window that would have certainly changed the look of the.
Are they colored? Are they colored frames then?
This includes the staining of the.
White frames.
No. This includes staining the wood to match the existing frame in.
Frame itself is
in the library.
The same as it is now, so we don't
Correct.
See a big change.
Yep.
Is that all the windows in the library, or just a portion of them?
No, it's just the windows on the second, on the two floors on the west side of the library.
Albany.
Yeah.
That's where they're located, Albany.
Albany. And are they then taking they're buying, I mean, they're taking the windows out and reusing
them? Yeah, the salvage is up to the contractor.
That's their.
Right.
Attention, window contractor. Dietmar Goebel lives at 4296 Northeast Golf Course Drive. He's in the market for some windows.
I always want to support local whenever I can.
Yes, we all do.
We've worked with the other contractor on windows, in different buildings, but they weren't able to do the type of window that's currently in the library. They would do more of it's a commercial window with the aluminum.
Right, because that window's more expensive. Yeah,
right.
That's an aluminum window they bid too, probably. Okay, thanks.
Motion?
I move to authorize a goods and services agreement with Davis Glass Incorporated in the amount of $128,365 for the replacement of library windows and authorize the city manager to execute the agreement on behalf of the city of Newport.
I'll second.
Motion made by Councilor Parker, seconded by Councilor Jacoby. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you. Piggy, 7B.
7B is notice of intent to award a contract for security and fire alarm inspection, testing, monitoring, and maintenance services to Salem Fire Alarm for a 3-year period for an annual base fee of $19,845.
That's right.
Historically, the city has had multiple contracts with multiple vendors for alarm inspection, testing, monitoring, and maintenance services, and this has led to certain gaps in us being able to properly test and make sure that systems are working. Also, we've had all these individual contracts with different companies, and I think cost-wise, at a greater cost than having a universal contract with one vendor to do this work. Went through an RFP process, and the recommendation is to award the contract to Salem Fire Alarm for a 3-year period at an annual fee of $19,845, and so I would recommend the council approve a motion to authorize this contract.
Questions? Motion?
I'll move to approve a notice of intent to award a contract subject to review and approval by the city attorney, David Allen, for security and fire alarm inspection, testing, monitoring, and maintenance services to Salem Fire Alarm, and authorize the city manager to sign a contract between the city of Newport and Salem Fire Alarm for a term of 3 years with an option to extend for up to 2 additional 1-year terms at the city's discretion in the amount of $19,845 and after 7 days contingent upon no protest.
Second. Motion made by Councilor Parker, seconded by Councilor Hall. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the next one is council reports. I only have, that'll be the end of the contract review board. Close that. I only have one quick thing. Last week, Courtney from Senator Merkley's office came down and took a tour of the dam. And Chris was there, and I thought she was very engaged. She asked a lot of great questions. She's his new field rep, by the way, out of Eugene. And I was extremely impressed with her and with the fact that she was very interested in our project. She did announce last week that Senator Merkley will be coming this Wednesday and for a tour of our dam. And pretty excited about that, too, because he's been on our side for a long time. I think it was David. No, it was Tia that told us that back in 2015 he had expressed interest in our project. So he's been there. CM and I met him in Washington, and he was very engaged, gave us a lot of time. I was impressed. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people that we met back there said, I got to go, but he did not. He was really into wanting to hear what our problem was. And he will be here next Wednesday at 10:45.
This coming Wednesday.
Yeah, 2 days from now.
10:45.
And we have very limited time or a limited availability for council to go because of a quorum. Please get a hold of Spencer. I think we've got a full crew coming right now, and I think we're going to have to split some of the time up where some people can only do the presentation at the water treatment plant, and the other ones are going to be at the dam. So, but I just want to let you know that they're, you know, get a hold of him real quick because it's
before you leave tonight, let me know.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to have a quorum at.
There's going to be a lot of people there. He's bringing quite a staff. I think about 10 people from his staff are coming from Washington and Oregon as well. And, you know, obviously the people from Deep Dig will be there. Jenny, our lobbyist in Salem, will be there. I think Tyler's coming. Yeah, he's Washington.
He'll be there. This a lobbyist
with
from
the
Washington.
Water Strategies. He's our lobbyist there. So there's going to be a lot of people there, and we're trying to keep it really low. Cynthia.
I was going to ask Peggy. Can we get name tags made? We've talked about it before. Just for something like this, it would be nice to kind of show who the counselors are.
I'll order name tags for all of you.
Okay, yeah.
And Piggy's... Hi, my name is. Piggy will be providing box lunches. He will...
Well,
oh,
that changes everything.
Not for us, but I think for his staff. But well, I want you to know that...
We're trying to confirm that because we've heard that they've made preparations for their own lunch. So we need to confirm that, so...
Yeah, his schedule's very, very tight. He will be with us for 1 hour period. I've been told that he will probably come late and leave early. That's pretty typical of those folks. So I'm just excited because I think what I hope to see is that he will get a hold of congressmen and senators from throughout the country and say, I've been to Newport Dam. I've seen it. I can tell you it's bad, rather than just to say, I've heard it's bad. But I think that when somebody like him talks to other senators around the country and says, there are dam problems all over our country, and unfortunately it wasn't put in this latest infrastructure bill. And, of course, that's another thing we need to work really hard on is work on Congressman DeFazio to get him to find a way to put in some water supply money because it's just not there, unfortunately. So that's all I have. Anybody else have anything? CM?
What's the status on the town hall on the 30th? What's the time? What's the topic?
Well,
where is it?
I'm glad you brought that up because the question is, do we want to do a town hall on the 30th? You know, based on our reemergence of COVID or not? So, up to the council. If you want us to do a town hall, we will figure that out. But our pathway has kind of diverged our way away from that. Concept here.
I think we saw people here 2 weeks ago and now we didn't tonight. And I think that the masks indoors and the Delta variant are making people stay away. I don't know if I think it's wise if it's in this room. On Zoom, sure, try that. Yeah, that's fine.
Outdoor event.
I was at a festival this weekend and there was maybe 10 to 20% of the attendance I've seen in the past. So you may be right.
Yeah, and I can tell you, time-wise, we aren't looking for more stuff to do right now. So unless there's a real burning need for the council to do the town meeting on August 5th, Monday, I would really be happy if we don't do it. So is there a consensus from the commission on not holding that?
You just want to have us come by and you can grill us some flat irons in your backyard where it's nice and open?
That would be fine.
I second that.
but
what am I going to do?
Spencer's cooking steaks.
Oh, steaks, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, are you comfortable not holding that and Dean?
Yes.
Yeah. Fine.
This is kind of Dean's baby here, so are you comfortable not holding?
Under the circumstances, I think that we should take a pass. I hate doing that because I think we have a lot to talk to our community about right now, especially the restaurant and the gas tax and, you know.
Water conservation.
Yeah, and a whole host of other issues. But and I'm glad you mentioned that, Ryan, because I think we need to get I don't know that a lot of people understand that we're on two, and three is even worse. I think, was it Yamhill that just went to three? I think Yamhill just went to level three. And all you could do is use water indoor for your pets or your own personal drinking, and that's basically level three is pretty serious. And we're real close to that.
Do we have any indication as to when that would possibly happen?
No, in fact, the county drought meeting today was canceled, today was canceled. And I don't know if you've heard anything recently, Chris.
No, we haven't heard anything recently, and we'll be waiting and working with the Midcoast Watershed Consortium, which is Seal Rock and Lincoln City, and on how we can together move forward, and if it's necessary, at our next meeting, which will be in about 2 weeks.
Okay, anyone else have any, Cynthia?
I want to mention something really good that I noticed. On the 5th of July, Dean and I were down on Nye Beach Turnaround with the beach cleanup, and Lon Brusselbeck pointed out to us that the pillars and posts and the cables around the turnaround were broken and rusting and cracking, and some pedestals were down on each end. Well, I was there a couple days ago, and it's fixed. Oh, nice. The posts are nicely set, have new cables.
Nice and shiny.
The hardware, it does not look like it's stainless steel. There must be a reason for that. I don't know what that is, but it's fixed, it's safe, and it looks good. So nice. It got done.
The association's working, huh?
Well.
But Public Works did that.
Because the mayor, so. Yeah. Public Works did it, not Nye Neighbors.
Right. My neighbors pointed it out. Public Works did the work. So.
That's what I figured.
So,
anything else?
I just want to say I think there's a meeting on Wednesday too in the morning with in Toledo. I don't know. I think it's the 18th.
Small cities. Yeah. I think it's at noon. No, 11. So it's going to be a conflict.
Yeah, the same time as our
with the dam tour. Yeah.
If anyone wants to go to that, let me know because you do have to register in advance.
I think I registered.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Is that it? Any public comment?
I'm going to just plant the seed that I met with my HOA this weekend, and our units face Elizabeth Street, and there was a lot of concern about speeding on Elizabeth Street. So I think we're going to see and hear more on that issue in upcoming council meetings.
Okay. No public comment? We're adjourned.
So who's planning to participate in?
I want to go to the Mercury thing, yeah.
Okay, because the mayor will be there. We can have three at a time. We've got part of it's at the water plant, part of it's at the dam. So if we split up.
I'm going to Toledo.
Oh, so you aren't going to participate in
Correct.
That? So Ryan's going.
I'll go for Drew, or I'll go on.
Yeah, so as long as we can split up someone, we got to keep it to three members. So
I don't care which one to tell me which one to vote to, and I'll be there.
Yeah.